Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. That's what I'm talking about. A little fake hard rock right there. Coming out of break. It's a weird thing, right? Like, it sounds like it's a real jam and tune, and then it gets a little weird towards the end of it, but whatever. It's still a good choice by our producer, who I hate to lose, Pete Considori. He's the man. Yeah, it's like a weird fake guitar riff kind of thing. But anyway, it is Pete's last day producing this show, Fantasy Sports Today, and thank you for joining us wherever you might have found us on TuneIn Radio or iHeartRadio or the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Before we get to the NBA, I do want to say, if you want a chance to win two tickets to a 2018 World Series game, go to dailyroto.com/DKMS and take a crack at playing free daily fantasy baseball. You can play every day. It's totally free. And the contests are sponsored by DKMS, who are looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. They've been a sponsor of ours for a couple of years now. They do tremendous work. So I encourage you to go and visit DKMS.org. But every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer, and only 30% of all blood donor patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor in their family. So go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. Find out how you can help eradicate blood cancer and play free daily fantasy baseball with a shot at winning two tickets to a 2018 World Series game. Last year, we had a season-long contest for gaining tickets to the Super Bowl. Similar contest right here. Once again, dailyroto.com/DKMS. So, good stuff there. Tony Cincotta, who will join us 11:40, was mindful enough to text me that, yeah, there are auditions, Kev, for the Monday Night Football stuff. I knew it. And they do it for all of these guys. They have to see if they can do it. And the reason that we know this for a fact in this instance is that Brett Favre tried out and he apparently bombed the audition. He was kind of a leader in the club, one of the favorites, along with Warner, and he apparently bombed it. Now, you know, I don't know. Like, you never know how these guys are going to be until they get out there and do it. And there's currently guys doing it that people think are terrible. I loved Phil Simms. People didn't like him at all. And it boggled my mind. I think we're going to talk NBA in a moment. I thought Mike Breen was the best in the world. And I remember thinking, like, this guy should just get elevated to the top job ASAP. It took him a while to get there. But people don't like Mike Breen. And I'm like, you are nuts. He's literally the best play-by-play basketball announcer in the world. So anyway, that stuff drives me. I'll never cease being perplexed by people's opinions on announcers. And I know for a fact, like, you just can't get consensus. It's something I gave up a long time ago. It's almost like
that's
the award stuff, you know, handing out MVPs and arguing over who's an All-American or an All-Conference player. Just don't worry about it because it doesn't make sense. People aren't putting in their homework to do that stuff, so don't worry about it. I remember one year in college football, there was a year-end poll, and it was related to – it was Houston Nutt, who was the coach at Arkansas at the time. And in the coaches' poll, they put it in, and somehow West Virginia got bumped back a spot from like 4 to 5, whatever it was. I'll go back and reference it after the fact. But somebody called out Houston Nutt and said, you know, in your season-end poll, you didn't even have West Virginia in it. Do you think they're that bad of a team that they couldn't even crack the top 25? And he's like, oh, I forgot. I just totally forgot to put them in there. So it impacted where they were ranked at the end of the year because the coach forgot. By the way, the coach isn't even really doing it. It's the sports information director that's doing it. What opportunity would a college football head coach have to watch other teams on a given weekend? Think about that. That's what they're tasked to do. Like, all right, coach your team on Saturday, do all of that kind of stuff, and then jet out of your press conference and then go sit down and watch all the other games of the day. They don't do it. They're done for the day. You know, that's anyway.
The only thing I want to say, just because
I touched on like seven topics there in the open. So
that's very impressive. And we can talk more about this with Tony, so you don't have to answer. Maybe Tony will know the answer right away. But if they had to do auditions, right, because Witten now has the job and he had to audition, then how were the Cowboys so blindsided? We can talk to Tony about that.
How are they blindsided by
it? He was sneaking off to auditions. They had no idea.
It's the off season.
Oh, I mean, goodness!
His agent would set up that call. Would set up that audition.
So you think that he snuck to the audition for Monday Night Football? The Cowboys had no clue. He did so well. They said the job is yours, and he retired. And that's the first time the Cowboys found out about it.
Well, there was a moment here in the last week and a half where he was back and forth on it, right? Now, he went straight to Jerry Jones, apparently, and said, this is my offer from Monday Night Football from ESPN. And some people thought it was a negotiating tactic. Doesn't appear to be the case. You know, 15 years in, he's done. So, yeah, he went to the Cowboys with his offer to let them know. I mean, it's a courteous thing. It's a professional thing to do. He didn't just throw out a press release. It obviously leaked probably maybe even before he got to meet with them. But I don't think what he did was wrong. And, you know, Tony Romo hemmed and hawed on it a little bit too. As a friend of mine likes to say, you know, people have an easy time spending other people's money because Romo walked away from, I think it was $18 million. But he got 4.5 or 5 from CBS. And I was like, that's an unbelievably soft landing. You know, for a guy that was had multiple back surgeries and is probably going to suffer physically long term, like Tony Romo is, that was a pretty soft landing. Anyway, there you go. So that's it on the announcing stuff. Let's talk NBA. You want to talk NBA?
I'd love to talk NBA.
What the hell happened to the Sixers? They're playing again today, so yeah. That's why I'm asking that.
Well, honestly, I got caught in this too. I call it sauce. It's you get trapped in what they're going to be and not exactly what they are. Because to me, one of the things is, and this is why, because I am such a believer in that fact that LeBron's going to go back to the finals. When everybody was saying the Sixers were going to beat them, I'm like, hold on.
Well, you're right.
I'm like, it's not like they thrashed the Heat. They were down at half in a number of those games. So I was able to have the ability to see that. But then when it came to the Celtics series, I bypassed them. And that was a total mistake. This team plays way too good at home. Brad Stevens is way too good of a coach. And we have to acknowledge it. Al Horford is not only a veteran, but he played awesome in that Bucks series. And he's playing awesome again. Terry Rozier has stepped up in one of the most impressive ways I've ever seen. And however much credit you want to give Brad Stevens, you have to acknowledge that Terry Rozier is still making those shots. I think he had 7 threes or something along those lines. He was incredible. And we saw Jaylen Brown come back in game 2, look good. We've seen the importance of Marcus Smart come back. At the end of the day, and this is one of the things here, I know they don't have Kyrie. The Gordon Hayward stuff's uninteresting to me. They never had him. This is a very good roster, and they're an incredibly well-coached team. So it might sound like an excuse to people when I say Joel Embiid's in year 2, Ben Simmons is in year 1, years, you know, removed from their draft, whatever it may be, aside. That stuff's impactful. Now, it also has to do with the Sixers coaching staff. They need to make adjustments. There was a brilliant thread. I believe you pronounce Krangis is a guy who writes a lot of stuff about the Lakers went through, of just kind of what the Celtics are right now doing to Ben Simmons and how they're being so effective in shutting him down. 1 point is unacceptable. It not only comes from Simmons, but it comes from the coaching staff. And I put that on the Twitter timeline if you want to go check that out, because it's really good stuff. And it's stuff that I think that Brett Brown is a good coach, and I think that they can find those adjustments.
He took 4 shots.
No, absolutely. He doesn't shoot from the outside. So if they put him in a spot where the only available stuff is outside jumpers, that's what's going to happen. He's going to end up with taking 4 shots. I still think the Sixers are going to win this series. I'm not going to move off that prediction because I still have not seen them necessarily translate on the road as well, right? Like, they lost all the road games to the Bucks, and I think that the Sixers are a better team than the Milwaukee Bucks. But it is absolutely something where people got far too caught up in what the 76ers can be down the road, and that, I think, and people looked just too past the Celtics. This is a team that, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Like, we can talk about youth. This is an experienced group, and their best player has been doing this for a long time in Al Horford.
All fair. I think your macro point about people crowning too soon, I think is fair. The Celtics are fantastic at home this year, historically, however you want to frame it. And Stevens is a great coach, and every game that they win with this squad, I think he's an even better coach. Because to come from behind in that scenario the other night, when they were already, you know, they had already had a game in their back pocket. If they had lost game two, it wouldn't have been a disaster at all. It would have been understandable because they were down. I mean, they were down. What was the biggest lead that Philly had? Was it 26?
In that game two, I know they got it up to like 21. I don't know if they got it as high as 26. Nevertheless, 20 okay. point lead's 20 point lead.
Right. So it was over 20, and the thing was almost gone by halftime. In fact,
that was the craziest part.
So the hard part for me is that I took a break from watching the game when the Sixers were up over 20. I took a break. I had to make a phone call. I came back early third quarter and was like, what happened? Like, where did that lead go? And the Celts were already in the process of kind of taking over. I think you're right. I think Simmons is going to be a challenge because Stevens is smart enough to make sure that he's only going to get jumpers. You know, they're going to close out the lane and not make him comfortable. He's going to have to force the issue a little bit more. He is physically talented enough to take guys on. I don't expect him to take on Al Horford in the paint, but he can take on other guys there. And I don't know. I am sort of maybe backing off the Sixers now. I had them coming into this series, but I thought it'd be hard fought because Boston's so good at home. But now I'm not so sure. I think maybe the youth showed the other night, and clearly it's a must win for them today. And we'll see what it is that they have in them. So 5 o'clock tonight, that game will be on ESPN, Celtics Sixers. I hope I get a chance to watch that one. It's a tough time of day for me on the weekends with the little ones, but we'll see if I get a chance to watch that. Now, going over to the other one, Raptors Cavs, that series is long over. Do you agree?
Here's the thing. I don't know why. It's just because the Cavs love to give up 198 points. I don't necessarily know if this thing's going to be a sweep. Maybe it's because I just...
Not necessarily a sweep. I'll give the Raptors one.
But doesn't it feel weird that we're going to give them one going to Cleveland? Like, I totally think that that's such a fair sentiment. It's just... This is such a crazy thing because it's been well
said. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you why. Because we know how this Cavs team operates.
Oh, yeah.
They are not full throttle all the time except for one player. And JR or Love or whomever are going to check out for one of these games.
Well, see, that's...
Whether up 3-0 first or they do it today, they're going to check out for one, maybe even two. But they're going to check out for one of these games. I don't think they're going to... they should put the gas, to put the pedal to the metal on this so they can rest. But they won't. That's just not how they operate.
I think the thing is... I think you're totally fair in terms of JR having an off night, Korver even having an off night, maybe Tristan Thompson is bad. But Kevin Love cannot afford at all to check out. That was his first good game of the playoffs. It was a great game. 30 and 10.
I don't think it's a mental checkout from Love, like taking a seat like JR might, or Korver just having an off night. It's Love kind of getting into the flow of the game. That's really where we've seen him struggle, right? It's not like his skills deteriorate. It's just sometimes I don't think because LeBron is there, he doesn't know when to assert himself. He should be trying to do it all the time, but I think sometimes he gets caught in the wash.
I think, but that's what's going to make this important, is it's not as if someone explained it to this way, where basically the Cavs were either going to lose game two or get Kevin Love back. they got Kevin Love back. Like, they were going to force him to find himself, or they were going to lose because he didn't find himself again. And I don't think that they're going to move off that. Like, the Cavs are in an incredible position. Like, the fact that they could drop one of these home games and still have home court is an incredible thing. So I think that they're going to still be giving Kevin Love the ball. And he is a mismatch problem for the Raptors. This is a bad matchup for the Raptors. Mental blocks aside, which is a thing. Like, we cannot ignore it any longer. It is a thing. But Kevin Love is a bad matchup for them. Obviously, LeBron is a bad matchup for them. And the shooters are starting to pick it up. Tristan Thompson is alive again as well. And that's one of the things is the Pacers were obviously a lot more difficult matchup. But another thing is people got far too comfortable assuming that LeBron was going to be the only good player in a Cleveland uniform for the remainder of the postseason. That is something that people got far too comfortable assuming, that we were never going to see Korver hit threes. We were never going to see Kevin Love play well again. Like, I think at some point, Jordan Clarkson has 15 off the bench. He's still been pretty. He was the only guy that had a negative rating, negative plus minus rather, coming off the bench in that game. So Jordan Clarkson, it's incredible, right?
He won by 18 points.
He was a minus three. I think that we're going to still see a point where he plays well. But this is overall huge for the Cavs. It's not just that they're winning these games. It's how so. Because their defense has been better thus far in the postseason. Their offense was abysmal. And now, thanks to this matchup with the Raptors, they found it. And people are probably going to, I myself am probably going to get too caught up in the fact that the Warriors just lost to the Pelicans, and I'll probably trick myself into picking the Cavs to winning the finals. I look forward to doing it. I don't care. It's fine.
Yeah.
But they're finding their rhythm, because what we do have to acknowledge is this is not a team that we've seen a full season together. It's barely a team that we saw for even it felt like a full month together. And clearly another thing, too, is that's been overlooked. George Hill is important to this team. He was missed in that Pacers series, and he's been real good to start this Raptors series.
So I'm going to give you a chance, two predictions today. Sixers are a 9-point favorite home today. You think they cover that? That's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I think they will. I see. The thing is, this is becoming a rivalry, so it's one of those things where you put a foot on the throat there, and you do not run it up, but you go out aggressive.
Cavs are a 4.5-point favorite at home against the Raptors today. Do they cover?
I think the Cavs win. Yeah, I like that.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll talk about the games that happened last night. I know we did it backwards, but we'll talk about the games that happened last night with the Warriors going down to the Pelicans and Rockets taking care of business. Mike and Kev back on Fantasy Sports Today after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I like this.
Oh, man. You ruined it. I'm trying to let it soak in. Let it wash over me. This is my sweet spot, Kev Walsh.
Just me in college. A comment about every
tailgating
song
on a Saturday. I know. I'm trying to let the Pearl Jam, my guys, just let it wash over the festivities, the Cinco de Mayo festivities. I might throw on some Pearl Jam, have myself a Negro Modelo, and hammer back some tortilla chips.
You are going to be shouting at this soccer game. Offsides! Offsides!
Yeah.
Yellow!
I got to do a little bit. It's not that. Look, that's a real soccer match. This is my 5-year-old trying not to. Yeah, no.
No?
This is my 5-year-old trying
not?
To not.
Why not?
Trip and fall for 30 minutes.
Why not?
I'll say this. I did T-ball the other night. So here's it. My son Owen is 5 years old. He's doing way too many sports right now. It's just they kind of overlapped at the same time. He's doing lacrosse. He's taking swimming lessons.
What an athlete.
T-ball and soccer. He's not like a particularly athletic kid for his age, but I wanted him out there doing stuff, and I overscheduled him. My fault, bad parenting, but that overlap will be over in about 2 weeks, but before Memorial Day. But we did T-ball the other night, and I was warned time and time again by friends of mine that have older sons and daughters that T-ball is a disaster. And you know what? 1,000% right. It is the worst run thing I've ever seen. I hope nobody from my town is listening, but it's a disaster. I feel like it is an injury waiting to happen to almost every kid playing it. One of the quote-unquote coaches the other night, we positioned Owen in the outfield. I'm technically not one of the coaches because I travel for work and I can't commit to something like that. But anyway, that aside, Owen's positioned in the outfield. One of the kids hits the ball. Obviously, anytime somebody hits it, it rolls, you know, 200 feet away because nobody can catch. I mean, literally, I'm not making fun of the kids. At 5 years old, that's a very difficult physical skill to have control of, is catching the ball, whether it is rolled to them or thrown to them in the air. Thrown to them in the air, you really can't even do it. But anyway, the ball rolls like 200 feet. Owen tears towards the ball. He picks it up. He's running it back in. And one of the coaches goes, he's five. I practice baseball with him. I'm glad he can hit and run the bases. That's it. He's one of the few kids that can run the bases in the proper direction. The one coach goes, hit the cutoff, man, yells it at him. I'm like, I look at the guy. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's five. He's one of the only ones that can run the bases in the right direction. You want him to fire to the cutoff, man? What if he did it? It would hit the kid in his face. He can't even, first of all, he can't throw it that far. Second, it's going to hit him in the face. And the kid already scored, by the way. The other kid that hit it, he's sitting in the dugout. But anyway.
You know what I've come to realize?
T-ball is going to frustrate me. Look, it's the one sport I feel personally comfortable. I know everybody that listens knows me as a little bit more of a football guy than a baseball guy. But from a coaching perspective, baseball is the
T-ball
one
that
I'm comfortable coaching. Not T-ball. It will never be my spot. But I can teach Owen how to hit and how to play baseball. Like I'm comfortable with that. I'm pretty good with that. One-on-one, I'll be good. Teaching 10 five-year-olds how to hit, that's going to be a lot more challenging.
I've come to realize that doing like play-by-play in color for a T-ball game would be absolutely hysterical.
It'd be impossible. Yeah. So let's, Kev, we'll get back to the basketball in a minute because I want to have a nice little segment here.
Absolutely.
Our producer, Pete Considori. This is his last day doing this show. Love this guy. Works his tail off every weekend for the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Woo!
And Kevin and he are friends from years back, college and all that kind of stuff. I will miss him, and I wish him luck. He's going to be pursuing, tell the audience what you're going to be pursuing.
So, yeah, so I'm finishing up my master's, and then hopefully I could be in the music radio format programming, if you will, role. I'd like to be on air a little bit more, so hopefully you'll be hearing me on your local classic rock channel or heavy metal channel if there's one out there. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to be pursuing.
Would you say that those are your genres that you're most comfortable with? Classic rock, heavy metal?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Those are my passions. Those are the things. That's the genres I'm usually listening to, so.
What is the greatest rock song of all time, and you're not allowed to say Stairway to Heaven?
Greatest rock song of all time. That's tough. I have so many good ones. Okay. The modern era, I think one of the top ones for me is Diary of Jane by Breaking Benjamin. I feel like anyone who knows rock in the modern era knows that song. Everyone can sing to it and belt to it. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that one.
All right. What's your favorite band?
A Day to Remember. Definitely my top band.
Wow. All right. So I don't even know these guys that well. I'm stuck in the – there's a moment. There's a comedian named Bill Burr, and he has this bit about how when you start having kids and then you're caught in a bubble, and you're in a bubble of you're not taking in pop culture in the same way that you did. Like, I know more about Jake and the Neverland Pirates than I do about pop music today. It's just – because I'm in a bubble. And he's like, and then like 25 years from now, I'll be hearing music when my kids are finally in college. And I'll be like, what is this crap? Because I will have had virtually no exposure to it. So much in the same way. I don't even know those bands, but I trust your opinion because you're a music connoisseur. So anyway, Kev, I'll let you lead off the hockey questions.
Wait, Pete, I have a question, but first, I don't know how I just completely forgot. What's the name of the show that you and Chris did? Why can't I remember it?
The show that you mean the one we were on?
Why am I saying Chris? Oh my God, he's going to kill me because now I can't.
Nick?
Yes, Nick. He honestly deserves that. He deserves that for calling
Nick,
me
a litany of names. We did a show on WICR, which is Iona's radio station, called Full Metal Attack.
Full Metal Attack. I can't remember. Mike, at any point, if they do it every radiothon, in all seriousness, it is the best show I've ever heard produced at Iona College. It is so legit, and they are so good together. And that's why I'm very happy to hear that Pete is going to go after this and see where it goes, because I know that he can absolutely do it. So I am super excited to hear that. And
you're going to crush it. So I tweet that out to me when there's Radiothon, or if you have existing clips, I promise I will listen to it. So, all right. So now I'm going to lead off the Stanley Cup playoffs questions. And what do we got? Preds Jets are tied at 2. We got the Vegas Golden Knights with a 3-2 lead. Caps Penguins. I'm going to start there because I get such a kick out of my friends that are fans of Washington area teams. The Caps have no chance despite being tied at 2-2. Am I right?
I wouldn't say that. I actually like the Capitals in this. I like the Capitals in this matchup. I don't know if... I don't want to say they don't have a chance. I think they have a chance. I think Pittsburgh comes back and does win this series, but I think the Capitals do have a chance. I think this could go to a Game 7. Aston Reese gets hit by Tom Wilson, who... shattered this guy's jaw, gets a 3-game suspension for a hit to the head. So they're without him, their big guy on the team. So
by the way, he absolutely hit him in the jaw first. There are people on Twitter trying to argue that it was shoulder to shoulder contact first. I thought he absolutely squared him up.
So what I was watching in that play was it was shoulder to shoulder, but you can also see him take his other shoulder and push it more forward going for the head. So I think the shoulder-to-shoulder contact happened first, but I think he tried to pull off the, well, I'm finishing my check, and that's why I got him in the head. But I do think he was going for it. And Aston Reese was in a tight spot. His head was down. He looked up. There's Wilson, and boom. He's, you know, jaw shattered. So, you know, I think the 3-game suspension was fair.
Warranted.
And warranted, but... people that are saying that it wasn't a head-hunting play, I can say, to me, I doubt it. Because, yes, it was shoulder-to-shoulder first, but he sold it well that he was trying to make it seem like it was a clean hit.
Pete, the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas.
What a story.
This whole thing, I don't know why I've decided to be the Grinch when it comes to the Knights. I don't know why.
Oh, come on.
It's just
you're not even 25. How are you such a curmudgeon about it?
I don't know why.
What's your beef?
You know what it is? I think it is. It is probably a one sole person who has made me this way. But I don't understand why more people aren't annoyed while their teams are doing poorly that this team just like this has turned this on. I don't know why that is. It's necessarily taken me aback, but it just seems like people have welcomed them with such open arms that I'm slightly just taken aback that I don't see anybody being like, screw the Golden Knights.
Because look at it this way. The Golden Knights are made up of players that a team didn't protect. So you have players on a roster
that the team
said, well, we're not going to protect you either to take a chance so that they weren't taken in the expansion draft and they can get them back. But look at James Neal, Jonathan Marchessault, Bill Carlson, Marc-Andre Fleury, which we knew his Pittsburgh Penguins career was coming to an end anyway. He deserved to be a starter. Matt Murray did so well. Fleury came back to be a backup. So we kind of knew that that's probably the direction the Golden Knights were going to go in. It was to pick Marc-Andre Fleury. But you can name, Nate Schmidt. You can name a lot of people on that team. I want to say that every single player on that team that was taken from an NHL team in the expansion draft has a chip on their shoulders. And even Bill Carlson said they are the golden misfits. They are the players that the teams didn't protect, got pulled to Vegas, and now they're showing them, look who you just got rid of. We're coming with vengeance, and we're coming hard.
You know what? I'm going to say it right now. I am no longer going to allow the specific person mainly who has ruined the nights for me, because that was beautiful and that made a lot of sense to me. So now I actually absolutely want the Golden Knights.
There you go.
It is that simple. Because that is just for some reason I was so irked that people were so willing to accept them. And I don't know if that specific person is okay, has this line of thinking, but that makes total sense. Is that this is a group of players that their specific teams told them, "Yeah, you're not that important to us," and they've now turned that into a massive run.
You know what? I think a lot of the teams, like let's say the Florida Panthers and the Predators, are kind of kicking themselves right now, because I think they didn't think that the Golden Knights were going to take a Marchessault or a James Neal because of salary cap and they wouldn't be able to pay them and all that stuff. But George McPhee found out a way to get both of them, and they went, "Oh no, they took Marchessault and James Neal," and I think they messed up there.
All right. I have the most important question of the NHL playoffs right now. Why is Ryan Marchand licking everyone? Or Brad Marchand licking everyone?
I don't know.
Ryan Callahan last night, and he keeps kissing and licking everyone.
I don't
If you spit
know.
On a guy, you get suspended.
He should be suspended
for licking someone.
I agree. I was talking to George Kurtz about this on the Inside Edge Fantasy Hockey podcast that we do every week.
A little ding.
I don't know where my bell went. I used to have a bell down here. Anyway, I don't know. The bell's gone. But I told George, I said, "George, this guy finally snapped? Like, he's licking people now. It's not even trying to get under their skin or being a dirty player. Now he's literally licking people's faces. And I can't understand it." I agree. That if you spit on someone, you get a suspension. Why is licking okay? Can we talk about that for a second? How does licking, like, go past the rule book? Or do the refs go, "Well, there's really no rule for licking, so we can't do anything about it"? I mean,
it's the seventh documented instance in his career of him licking or kissing someone.
What?
It is really odd, and I get that he's trying to be weird and get in people's heads, but if you spit on someone, you get suspended. If you lick someone in the face, take a day off.
Do you remember when J.R. Smith was untying people's shoes at the free throw line?
Stevenson blowing in people's ear, it's weird.
But it's not as bad as just a full-on lick.
Well, see, the untying of shoes could be very dangerous because of injuries with ankles and stuff. But licking is cool.
Safety first, Pete.
It's gross. It's absolutely gross. I don't know
I'm
what
super bearded, super bearded, sweaty NHL playoff beard lick.
I played in the playoffs in my hockey league. We won 2-0, and I have friends that like try to get under their skin, or whatever. It has not once crossed my mind, I'm going to go over and lick that guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's never been like a that is the
super
number
weird.
One thing I could do.
Yeah. Super
Seven
weird.
Instances.
Yeah. Yeah. I just pulled up some list. It's on
ForTheWin.com
from USA Today. So,
what team's that gentleman on?
That he is
Boston Bruins.
Of course he is.
And Tampa will be looking to close out the series tomorrow in Tampa. Do they do it?
I think they do. I think Boston, we were talking about this also with George Kurtz, Boston is kind of like a 1-1.5 line team. Past the first two lines of offense, they really don't have much there. So Ryan McDonough, Sergachev, all those great defensemen on the Tampa Bay Lightning, they've been shutting them down. I think back in Tampa, they're going to win. They're going to get it. 4-1, and they're going to move on to the Eastern Conference Final, where they probably will be playing the Pittsburgh Penguins. I'm hoping the Caps win, because I'm kind of tired of seeing the Pittsburgh Penguins win, but it is what it is.
Well, this is still on course. You had Preds Penguins going into this. Is that right? I remember you had the Predators winning the whole thing.
I had Preds Toronto, and I was completely wrong about Toronto.
Nice job.
Yeah, I mean, they made it to a game seven, but, you know, the top goal scorers for Toronto, I mean, Austin Matthews did nothing that series. I mean, absolutely nothing. So
you draft hockey players that are natively from Phoenix, you're not going to get a lot of results.
Listen, Austin Matthews is a powerhouse. He just choked in the playoffs. He choked hard.
Yeah, it's tough. All right, well, good stuff. I'm sad to see you go. I wish you luck. Obviously, you know, anytime you ever need anything from us, want to come on air and talk about something, even if it's some sort of heavy metal blowout or a show, feel free to ring us and we'll have you on to cross promote.
Well, thanks, guys. I have to say it has been a pleasure, and I've learned a lot from everyone at the station, as I had said multiple times before and now doing it on air. You know, I want to thank you, Mike, for being a great role model and a great on-air personality. Kev, for making this – time here very fun, our time with the producers, with Chris
Pavona. I'm holding up a heart, Pete.
I see it. I'm giving it back to you. You can't see me, though, because there's no camera there for me. So yeah, so thank you guys, and thank you to all the listeners who supported me through the producers and also me
Fantasy
joining. Fantasy Produskies,
and
also me joining in on these segments. So thank you all very much.
Oh, man, I'm getting choked
good stuff.
Up over
okay.
here.
We'll talk to him again soon. And thank you, Pete. And let's close out by you picking what's going to happen in those two basketball series because we ran long on hockey. We got Rockets, Jazz. That is now 2-1 in favor of the Rockets. Donovan Mitchell was obviously incredible the other night, not so much last night. Rockets take that easily. Do you think the Rockets pull away here?
Yeah, I originally had Rockets in five. I didn't think that the game the Jazz got was going to be in Houston, but that type of performance just lets you know that Houston is going to start to perhaps get things clicking. It was so funny that they were, you know, after the way game two went in each of these series, everyone was like, oh, geez, the Warriors are going to blow past them. And now things are kind of flipping once again that we could have a good series there. And that's what we're relying on Houston for, right? So I think that they're going to be able to get rid of Utah here in five. If it happens to be six, so be it. But I think it's going to be five games.
Okay, I don't think you can panic as a Warriors fan about last night. I think this ends in five, maybe six, but they're still going to win the series.
Well, I have a Steph Curry
one prediction.
Point I make
do either quickly. Draymond or Rondo get suspended in this series?
No suspended. There will be a tech.
Yeah. Okay.
Double tech.
So we'll
coming.
Come back. We're going to bring Tony Cicada back at 11:40. We'll talk all of this stuff right after the break.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Back on Fantasy Sports Today, closing out the show. Didn't do a good job of promoting the other shows today, but we had a lot going on. Right after this, from 12 to 3, is In This League with Welsh and the Bogman. And then our very own Tony Cicada. Tony Cicada can be found on a variety of shows each and every day. Talking Trash in the Morning with Mike Cardano. That's on from 6 to 9 before Carton and Friends. And then he's on Fantasy Football Frenzy on Sundays. He's on Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe Galina today from 3 to 6. And what else? You're on every day. You're on Red Heat and Rage. You're doing Lineup Lock. You got tons going on here each and every day on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Tony.
Yeah, and I don't want Mason Crosby to be part of the station. Be a waste.
Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, Rudolph. Mason Crosby would be
either.
A waste. He'd be a waste, too.
Yeah. So I knew we were gonna start here. I think I am a Steelers fan, but I think I gave a pretty honest opinion of how I feel about Ben and the manner in which he does not master the media at all. I think he does a really poor job when he does these interviews. So do you think he's being a good teammate or a bad teammate? Because some could argue that he's sticking up for Landry Jones and Josh Dobbs. I would argue that he didn't need to create a controversy.
I will argue that. It's neither, that he doesn't give a shit about any of the three quarterbacks.
That's a great point.
And he's only there about himself. And I think it's a great pick by the Steelers because now he's competitive again. And you get that competitive nature going there. Well, we drafted this kid. Well, I'm going to be here the next 3 to 5 years. And all of a sudden, I'm turning my game up because nobody's coming to take my job. And that happens in anywhere in life. And we kill these athletes when they basically go and they give the same canned answers. I like it when a guy comes out and says, this is a waste of a draft pick.
Tony, I have a very, very important question for you.
Yes.
It might be time to shut the NFL down because when the Jets made their trade for the number 3 pick, you and I think totally fairly were like, what idiots. They're going to get the third quarterback. But then the NFL let the Jets get their number 1 overall guy.
I know.
So if the Jets look smart, we have to now do like fantasy Canadian football, right? Like the NFL's over now, right? That's how that goes.
They'll find a way to screw something.
Oh, totally agree. I totally agree.
You guys saw that he fumbled the first snap. How perfect is that?
Jesus. I'll tell you what. Yeah, it landed perfect for them. It landed perfect for them. And I'm real interested with all this love Baker Mayfield's getting and everybody citing the 68% completion percentage, which, you know, I'm all in favor of. This is why I didn't like Allen coming in. This is why I've never been a Cam Newton guy, is that, you know, everybody looking at this. But that league has been so poor defensively. He has to play a professional style offense, which is not what he played at Oklahoma. I'm interested to see how this translates.
Yeah, Tony, that's the thing that, look, we are data guys at the end of the day. We're fantasy sports people, so we're constantly poring over data. And Pro Football Focus and other people had him ranked as the highest guy, and you cannot argue with the stats. However, the stats are not the same from one league to another, and it boggles my mind that people aren't focusing more on the fact that he played in the Big 12. Like, people saying, like, look at the completion percentage, look at the accuracy. I get it, but it was much easier to play there than in the other conferences.
And I had the same problem with Allen. Go look at the games that Allen played against Division I teams, right? And it was crazy at how poor of a performance he put up each and every time. And people say, oh, he didn't have the weapons. Go, guess what? He don't got any weapons in Buffalo either.
That's so true. Yeah, oh, my God. It's going to go terribly. I don't know. I just, the whole Josh Allen stuff is going to be a mess. Tony, I mean, the whole time, too, you said the Pats were never going to take a quarterback.
Yeah.
But when Lamar was there at 31, at any point, were you like, oh, maybe they will? Because they were linked to him. They did give him a top 30 visit, so they were interested to some degree.
I don't think they were. I think basically, because we did hear rumors, you know, there's a lot of Pats rumors after the draft, right?
Right.
We heard rumors that they were going to trade up at number 2 to take Baker Mayfield, which I don't believe either. I just think that is a situation. And the quarterback that they drafted late in the draft is, I mean, he was terrible last year. I mean, oh, my God. He just has the size, so they went and drafted him, see what they can do with him. So there's still a team that's going to be looking for a quarterback, and I don't think they'll try to find one in the third or fifth round one of these years. But they didn't see the urgency to go after it this year. I think I'm going to stick to my original point. I think we saw, you know, 5 guys go in the first round, but I don't think any of the 5 are a lock.
I'm with you. I don't think any of them are a lock. I started to get a sinking feeling as the draft approaches that Rosen could be the guy that in a couple of years will be like, why was it that people were down on him? Because he had a couple of concussions and people thought he was too smart to play QB. Like, that's a really odd thing, right? It's a really odd stance. You're like, whoa. This guy is way too smart to be our quarterback. He likes to read and he likes things outside of football. It's like, are you serious? You want an absolute mouth breather to be your starting quarterback just because he likes football so much?
Did you see the 2 Browns things that came out? The first was that they went up to the volleyball coach and they were like, what do you think about Rosen? He's like, go talk to his girlfriend. And from there, he basically was like, oh, no, I can't draft this guy.
Negative.
But never even spoke to him, as if, I don't know, having a girlfriend was a negative.
He's not likable.
But my favorite part.
Everybody hated Dan Fouts. They hated him.
But
teammates.
I don't even know if that's
they
true.
Hated
Apparently,
him.
He didn't even go and speak to Josh Rosen's girlfriend. The best part was the specific scout from the Browns who said, you could not convince me that anybody in this draft was better than Sam Darnold. I watched all the tape. But then I met Baker. And man, you know when that guy's in the room. What idiots! How do you watch all that tape and go, Darnold's clearly the best guy? And then because Baker Mayfield has a bubbling personality, go, gotta be Baker.
I'll tell you, it is crazy. I think when it's said and done, if I was going to pick one guy now in the best situation, it would be Rosen to me. That's going to be the guy that has the best chance, I think.
Rosen's been my guy throughout this process.
It's going to be built from the ground up with him. It'll be a rough road to hoe initially, but it's going to be built around him, and, you know, we'll see. I like the fact that he's in that spot. I think he's going to have an opportunity to play it right away. So next topic I wanted to talk to you about. Brad Marchand, we just were talking about it. You probably heard it. He's licked or kissed people seven. This is the seventh documented instance of him kissing or licking people. If you spit on somebody, you get suspended. If you lick or kiss somebody, you don't appear to get suspended. But I think this needs to come to an end. We can't have people licking each other with their dirty playoff beards.
I'll tell you what, I've had this discussion with our program director, Mike Cardano, who thinks it's all right to give a kid, another kid that you don't know, a wet willy in a doctor's
waiting
room.
That's right. I remember that. That was
it's very similar, right?
From a couple of years ago.
Cardano thought that was all right. So I think Cardano would be all right with guy-on-guy action as well in the National Hockey League. But what do you think about assault, right? Assault. Isn't germs part? Shouldn't that be an assault? Like, shouldn't
buddy,
the police
if that happened on the subway, you're getting arrested.
Yeah, shouldn't the police be handcuffing this guy after the game?
Yeah. So, Kev, to back up the wet willy conversation, there was a story that Mike Cardano always finds weird stories. Some random guy in it, was it a hospital waiting room or a doctor's waiting room?
Doctor's waiting room. Yeah.
He like licked his pinky and he was just like playing with this little kid and like gave him a little wet willy. And it became a story, and Cardano thought it was okay that the guy was just being playful, but it was a random kid. It wasn't like his grandson.
Nope.
And then it became a bigger story. I don't know if the guy got arrested or whatever.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's not okay. Right. It's not okay. Cardano thinks it's okay.
So you guys probably haven't sat like as a little kid in a doctor's room in many years. So I'll just – if I was in a doctor's office and some random father gave me a wet willy, my mother would have strangled him on sight.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. It's a weird thing to do.
I'm not going to lie. It's real weird. Real weird.
Super weird. Super weird. Even weirder to support it when you're the program director.
I'm going to be honest with you. So I try to see both sides. I try to see if you can spin things. I got nothing for this one.
No.
It's just weird.
all right. So that Brad Marchand licking. And then Jason Witten, Monday Night Football. We covered the fact that they do auditions, and Kurt Warner's upset about it.
Yeah.
I think he's upset because he lost out on the job. And for Mr. Vanilla Milk Toast that he is, he
good
came
Christian
out kind of
guy.
Firing.
Yeah. Good Christian guy, hoping everybody does well in life. You already have a job, Mr. Christian man, and you want another job, and you want to keep Jason Witten from being unemployed and having to play another year in football and get a concussion. What is wrong with you? Do you go to Jill Olstein's church, Jason Witten?
Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner's the guy you want to hammer.
These guys are driving me crazy.
So
Tony, why don't they give you the job? Did you audition?
No, because you know why? Dennis Miller screwed it up for me.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
Dennis
Miller screwed it up, and they still screwed up and gave it to Rush Limbaugh, and then he really put the nail in the coffin.
And that's where it all went downhill.
Yeah, Limbaugh. I mean,
whose idea was that was going to be a good idea?
First of all, terrible idea.
Yeah.
He came out firing, too. Like, he did not – Limbaugh did not tiptoe around the topics of the day. Saying that it was that Donovan McNabb got more credit because he was black, right?
Yeah.
That was the gist.
Can you imagine going that with all the concussion situations and stuff?
Leave Donovan McNabb
on there now.
Yeah.
Poor Donovan. He's had a rough go of it after football.
He had a rough go of it pretty much after he left Philly.
Mm.
Did he end up on the Cardinals?
I mean, he had a rough go of it in Philly. He had a public spat with Terrell Owens. He vomited on the field in the Super Bowl. It wasn't an easy career.
Best Philadelphian? You know who's the most interesting Philadelphian to me?
Don't say Kevin.
Philadelphian?
Don't say
historically
Kevin.
Historically or athletic?
Historically, it has to be Marvin Harrison. This guy has pictures of him beating people with baseball bats and stuff, and yet he still walks around the streets of Philadelphia a free man.
By the way,
to be fair, that sounds like something Philadelphia would be okay with.
By the way, Tony, that is not the most damning accusation.
No, he's a
baseball bat thing.
Yeah,
the baseball bat thing would be on the light side of what he has been rumored to have done.
I got to Google Marvin Harrison after the show ends.
Yeah, you do. And it's not something I want to put out in the air here, but you do a little bit of Google research on Marvin Harrison.
You can cross one bar off the list you want to attend unless you make sure your credit card's going
to
be accepted.
I'd go to certain car washes in Philadelphia, all the whole thing. So anyway, so let's talk a little bit of hoops because you're doing, obviously, you're knee deep in hoops each and every day during the regular season. Now it's just kind of for entertainment purposes, but obviously we got a little bit of advice to give people. I had Kev earlier do some predictions. Sixers giving up 9 points tonight. That's a lot to the Celts. I have a feeling that the Sixers can get this win, but 9 points.
I bet the Celtics tonight getting the nine. Yeah. And I'll be honest. I thought Philly would win the series. I bet Philadelphia the first two games. Here's what I think. It's crazy to me. I think the three worst coaches in the Eastern Conference might still be in the playoffs. In Tyronn Lue, Brown. And, of course, Coach Coy Casey. These guys, I don't even think they know there's a game going on. It is insane to me that nobody makes any changes. Now, I thought he left.
Casey's having a really tough time, by the way.
Oh, my God. Freddie Van Fleet obviously is still hurt. And he's got him in there taking a game-winning shot. I mean, what was he even doing on the court?
25-foot contested three-pointer. He shouldn't have been on the court. I agree.
And I look at that. I think they did a good job bringing T.J. McConnell in. But you know what? You got to go with the guys that got you there. You got to keep Ben Simmons on the court because I'm worried about what Ben Simmons has the rest of the series. To sit on the bench that long in that game too, when you're a superstar, even though you're not playing well, superstars, you just throw them out there. You leave them out there.
There were people on Twitter talking about leaving this guy on the bench for the stretch.
Yeah.
I thought that was insane.
Yeah, was like, McConnell's done his thing. He cut you back in to get him off the damn court or put him out there together and just go small against the Celtics. The Celtics aren't big. You can go small against them. And I was shocked. And I think, you know, it's a big game for Philly tonight. And Philly should win this game by double digits. But I bet the Celtics tonight because I have no confidence in the coaching in Philadelphia as well as the other two teams. And it's funny. LeBron should maybe get Coach of the Year after this.
If they're not going to give him MVP, at least give him Coach of the Year.
I can't believe this. Like, I can't believe the hate that it is out there for this guy, right?
It's unbelievable.
Because there has never been a better season by a player at 35 years of age is what this kid's done. And I really feel that people are giving James Harden because they didn't give it to him when they gave it to Westbrook. Like, this is a makeup. And I'm like, what are you guys watching? I mean, not to take anything away from Harden. The other guy's playing 1-on-5 every night.
He's the best player always. He's the MVP. Kevin asked me this a few weeks ago because Kevin is an unabashed LeBron fan as well. But he's the MVP every year. Like, you can go give it to somebody else if you want. He's just the MVP every year. It's fine if you want to give away the awards. I don't get fired up about awards anymore. But he's just the MVP every year. He's that important. They just get to the finals because he's on the team. That's the reason. If he's not on the team, they're out of the playoffs, and they get to the finals every year and sometimes win.
They had no
shot.
With a
far inferior.
They had no shot before the playoffs, I thought, and now they're going to be the Eastern representative.
Absolutely. I flipped, by the way, on the Sixers. I had the Sixers going into the series. Now I don't think they're going to win it. I just didn't like what I've seen so far. It doesn't mean it won't be a series, but I lean towards the Celts now. Closing
Ben Simmons is really going to have to step it up, and they're going to have to get him the ball. And he should be. See, that's the thing with the Celtics that, you know what, they lost these players, and I said this when Kyrie Irving went down. The one thing is that Boston's better defensively now. Kyrie Irving is one of the worst defensive point guards in the league. And Terry Rozier has played very good, very good. And I'll tell you what, it's put the Celtics in a weird situation to have all this talent and how they're going to keep all these guys and still have all these early draft picks.
Rozier is just a cool story, I think, the way he's been able to step up. You know, he was the ninth or tenth guy on this team back a few months ago, and now he's dominating the playoffs. Pretty cool. Kev, one last one for Tony.
Oh, geez, one last one. Wow, that's Well, hold on. You know, Tony, overreaction. Now that looking at what happened with the Western Conference stuff, the way the Rockets went nuts and the Warriors.
I threw all my money on the Rockets last night. It was the easiest play of the playoffs thus far.
I don't know where you sit, though, in terms of if the Warriors are going to romp through the Rockets and things like that. But did last night make you switch, or are you still with the Rockets? However you assess it.
Yeah, I think Golden State wins it, which I didn't think going in. But Houston's not good enough defensively. I mean, Utah's a weak offense.
Okay, the poll about the Bills making the playoffs or whatever that other kind of stuff was. I messed it up. I screwed it up. I screwed up the poll. I'll update you on Twitter. Mike and Kevin, we're out. Thanks to Pete Considori. Thank you to Tony Cicada. Thank you to Ryan Talbot. We'll talk to you next week.